There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
All of a sudden, they're talking about how there's going to be a blood test now that will be able to detect psychiatric disorders. Do you ever get the feeling that they're setting us up to just run ramshod over the American public? I get that feeling quite often. And I'm watching all of these former advisors of President Trump. Now they're sounding the alarm. They're not really sounding the alarm, but it serves the media narrative to say that. AI is coming for us all. That's just the truth. And when I watch some of these supposedly unbiased interviews taking place with guys who we know are biased, I mean, George Stephanopoulos was actually a Clinton advisor. So could we stop pretending that he's going to be able to do an interview with Nancy Mace or anybody else and not show his Democratic colors? Of course not. So I'm not surprised by any of it. It's amazing to me that people still want to have this silly debate. Election deniers and QR codes are going to lead to government tracking. Well, I believe that. Does that make me a conspiratorialist or does that make me just a realist? There were people, there's a report. Now, see, I never really know if what I'm reading is artificial intelligence generated or just stupid Never Trumper generated, or might be true. I just can't tell anymore. So we just dismiss a lot of news stories, right? That's how I deal with it. So there was a news story out. I saw it very early this morning, and I can't even tell you on what website I saw the headline. But whatever it was, it said that they were people at an event that the Republican Party, somewhere, it wasn't in Florida, but somewhere, they were kicking a mannequin wearing a Biden mask. I think it was in Kansas or somewhere in the Midwest. And the booth was actually hosted by a karate school, like a local karate school, and they were promoting their self-defense classes. So the chairman of the Johnson County Republican Party said in an email that that's not acceptable. That's political violence. It's not political violence, however, when Robert De Niro says that he wants to punch President Trump in the face, or now he's saying, I'm deathly afraid, and telling Bill Maher he should be deathly afraid because if Trump gets reelected, he's coming after Robert De Niro. Really? Do you really believe for one second, Mr. De Niro, that you're that important? That Donald Trump has a plan to come after you? Most of us don't even go to your movies anymore. So what can I tell you? Just believe about half of what you see. And even the half of what you see that you're inclined to believe, try fact-checking, double-check it. Might be a good idea. Because I just think that this, we're in such a volatile climate right now. I think it was Newt Gingrich on this weekend on one of the Mark Levin shows. Newt Gingrich said, it really is almost irrelevant, except that our country's at risk. But he said, it doesn't matter if Donald Trump wins or if Donald Trump loses, there's still going to be violence following the election. My husband has been saying this for 3 years. And I keep saying, well, no, I don't think that's true. I don't think there'll be violence. I think people will conduct themselves with some decency. And then I read these fabricated headlines, or I see these comments by a guy like De Niro or Charles Barkley or anybody else that feels absolutely no compunction. Say, I'd punch any black guy who votes for Donald Trump in the face. That's what Barkley said. But meanwhile, if there's a karate school with an effigy of Joe Biden, that's the end of the world. And we all have to respond as though it were the end of the world. It's just not fair. None of it's fair. And I think that's what the American people are walking away with more than anything else. The last couple of years has really made us understand that the political class, the elites in the political class, and the media, which are all a bunch of elitists, really hate most of us. They despise us. They think we're beneath contempt. If they could grind us under their feet, that's what they would do. And it's so clear, and they don't even try to hide it anymore. But just let one conservative or one Republican say anything or do anything that might be a little, over the top in terms of rhetoric or political violence, the whole world comes down. Oh, let's go, Brandon. Oh, they can't handle it. It's okay. It's okay when they do it. Not since Kathy Griffin has a liberal paid for anything that they've done or said about Donald Trump. It's a long time. What was that, like 5 years ago? When she had the headless Trump thing bleeding? I don't know. I don't even remember anymore. She's so irrelevant and was actually kind of irrelevant at the time. But she became totally irrelevant when she did that. So now I'm hearing headlines. Now we're hearing from former Trump chief of staff that Donald Trump is a fan of Adolf Hitler. Now, I don't think they believe that. And I don't think they're going to convince anybody of that. So my job is to try and figure out what's the point of putting these stories forward. Because the only people that are going to believe that are the stupidest of the stupid. And the stupidest of the stupid, last time I checked, don't even vote. They don't even understand the whole process. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that the Democrat Party won't gather up their ballots and vote for them, but they themselves aren't moved by these headlines or by the stories that follow. And that's why you can look at all this stuff and then take a step back. I have virtually completed my talking points. They're actually completed, but I want to do a forward and an afterward. Is that right? A prologue and an epilogue. And I'm in the middle of doing that, so they will absolutely positively be ready tomorrow. But there's only so much I can do in the course of a day without getting taken off track. I mean, I really do have a lot of full-time gigs right now. But that's okay because I have to stay abreast of all stories, not just the ones that excite me or that challenge me. One of those stories that I've been talking about for years and really been abused by people I know and people I care about is what I think one of the biggest dangers in America today is. And people don't want to hear this. They really don't. But they're going to have to. I think the legalization of marijuana has really opened up a Pandora's box of all kinds of crazy. And you can glare at me, you could shake your head at me and all the rest of it. But there is a difference between the marijuana that existed when I was a teenager or even a young adult and the marijuana that exists today. And I'm terrified that we have a whole generation that's growing up with a very distorted perspective of reality and a high tolerance for drugs that cause personality disorders. You heard me right. Pathological, psychological personality disorders, which is why I find it fascinating. First, they make marijuana legal, and then they tell me there's now a blood test. And that blood test is going to predict the detection of psychiatric disorders. Very exciting. That's what people are saying. Oh, a new blood test. It's being developed. It's going to detect these mental health disorders. They're using it at Johns Hopkins Children's Center. Rada, rada, blah, blah, blah. This is going to be scary. Because now, if they say that they have identified a psychiatric or even a neurological issue in young people, or in maybe a new mother, or whatever, when they get, oh, we can predict postpartum depression. That's one of the first things. We can predict schizophrenia. We can predict epilepsy. We can do it because there are changes in the brain. And all we have to do is analyze genetic material that we find in your blood. So this study, which was published in the journal Molecular Psychiatry, actually says that what they're going to do is they're going to analyze extracellular vesicles, EVs, in the blood. Those are those tiny fatty sacs that are filled with all kinds of genetic material like RNA, or in the case of COVID vaccines, mRNA, which play a very big role in how one cell talks to another, or how a group of cells talks to the brain or talks to the heart. Now, they are assuring us that they can tell you in a pregnant woman with a simple blood test whether or not she's going to develop postpartum depression. With no, you know, room for environmental causes or even other genetic causes, like a proclivity to depression, period. I'm terrified about this. I really am. I'm more scared about this than I am about the election, if you can believe that. Placenta-specific EVs before and during a pregnancy, before birth and during a pregnancy, not after birth. So how are they even doing this? Well, they are using mRNA from lab-grown human brain tissue. And then they're comparing the findings to brain functions and disorders. And they have identified, so they say, specific mRNAs in the blood that are linked to various brain disorders. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid. Because I am. This is 1984 Animal Farm kind of stuff. It really is. This is not a significant advancement. This is scary, scary stuff. Man, and then I look at all the medical news, and you just want to, like, you know, jump out the window. You've got some crazy stories out there right now about some of these risks. I don't even want to talk about Puerto Rico and dengue fever, but it's out there. You have the most insane headlines today about... Let me ask you which story you think is more important. One story is doctors share terrifying new theory about Alzheimer's. Studies suggest that experts are calling for dementia screening because if you were to have an organ transplant from someone who has Alzheimer's, you could end up with Alzheimer's. That it could spread to patients who receive transplants because they might have toxic genes. They're already making all donors to get screened in Canada. The new study looked at mice who had stem cells from their bone marrow transplanted from donors with familial Alzheimer's disease. And that's the type of Alzheimer's that's caused by a single genetic mutation that's passed down through families, and it affects, you know, over a quarter of a million people all the time. It is not the kind of Alzheimer's that my mother had, but it's the kind of Alzheimer's that First Lady Rosalynn Carter had. Patients with this form of Alzheimer's carry a faulty version of the amyloid precursor protein gene, which can turn into plaques and degrade the brain. For the first time, the study appeared to show that this process starts outside of the central nervous system and then travels to the brain, where it causes the cognitive decline that's associated with Alzheimer's disease. Team found that the mice showed signs of cognitive deficiency and decline as young as 6 months old. I'm just saying. So that's one headline. And then you turn the page, or in this case, you scroll up or you scroll down, and you have another headline, and you have to make a decision. Am I going to read this headline? I'm going to read this story about Alzheimer's, or would it be more important for me to find out whether Nashville is having a visceral reaction to Beyonce, who has now decided to go country? Beyonce? Look, this makes perfect sense to me, by the way. She's a multi-talented person. I think she's originally from Texas, so it's not like country music is foreign to her. She's been around for nearly 30 years. She was in Destiny's Child. She became a business mogul. She's married to Mr. Everything. And now she's decided, Queen Bey has said, I've always been country, and I'm going to be Cowboy Carter. This is the second act of her Renaissance project. And Friday at midnight, for somebody like me who's been around the whole time, I go from Destiny's Child to Daddy's Lessons. I go to, her doing songs written and performed by Dolly Parton. And does anybody really think it's not going to work? That's what's so amazing to me. So I read the article on Alzheimer's because guess what? Beyonce and Jay-Z can do whatever they want and they will be successful. That's not the big story. You had that other dude, the one I can't stand with the satanic sneakers. He went country with Old Town Road. People loved it. Put a little banjo and a thumping bass, and before you know it, he's not hip-hop anymore, he's country. Now he's back to hip-hop. So there's there is nothing about that story that would require anybody to not take it seriously. But would you read it over the Alzheimer's story? Would you read it over, for instance, the story about how this whole get rid of the speaker every time they do something you don't like has affected the Republican Party? Do you think maybe you'd want to read something about the fact that they're pressuring the Supreme Court justice, who I never could understand why I was supposed to support, Sonia Sotomayor? All I heard, I was on the air, was like, oh, how could you not want, a Supreme Court justice to be a Puerto Rican female? Come on, Joyce, this is like, this is as good as it's going to get. To which I always responded, I beg your pardon. I just want Supreme Court justices who are outstanding justices, who understand the Constitution, and who are willing to put their political opinions aside for the most part and rule. You know, now they're calling it the Ruth Bader Ginsburg precedent because they kept trying to get her to retire. And of course, she didn't. And so then Donald Trump got to put a Supreme Court justice up for nominate another conservative. So I think they've pretty much figured out that Joe Biden is iffy. Like, I guess he has a chance of winning another term. But I wouldn't want to bank on it. So at 69, she's the oldest justice on the Supreme Court to have been picked by a Democrat. And now, Democrats may be about to lose the White House. They may even lose the Senate. They may lose both. So the left is relentlessly pressuring her to retire. And she hasn't been well, in all fairness. She is now showing up to Supreme Court hearings in a wheelchair. So, okay. You have a Supreme Court historian at the University of Texas by the name of Lucas Powell Jr. saying, I would love to see Sotomayor retire. I would love to trade her for a 50-year-old justice. It's pretty much what Donald Trump was able to do. She's still youthful. When you think about it, she's a lot younger than me. Well, not a lot. But she's younger than me. At 69, she's almost 2 years younger than me. I don't feel like I couldn't still perform in my job, so I'm sure she could still perform in hers. But they're just terrified. They just want her out of there. She's the first and only Latina on the court. And so if they pressure her too hard to step down, they may pay for that. At the polls, everything is identity politics. That's what they set in motion. And the fact that she's younger than, well, Clarence Thomas is 75. Samuel Alito is 74. Nobody's pressuring them, obviously, not to retire under Biden. So she's probably thinking, I can outlive a Trump presidency. And she's also probably pretty sensitive to the perception that she is timing her retirement for partisan purposes. She and Amy Coney Barrett are in the midst of a publicity tour to promote the concept of civility. That's almost too funny to have to. I think I want to get tickets to that. Today, Democrats have a 51-49 majority in the Senate, one more vote than they had 2 years ago. And they were able to successfully confirm Ketanji Brown Jackson, who replaced Justice Stephen Breyer. So they have the votes right now. If they can get Sotomayor to retire, they can get a younger liberal justice in there. Now, that's pretty different, though, than when they pressured Ginsburg and Breyer to retire. Those guys were in their 80s. Sonia Sotomayor is younger than me. I don't think this is going to work. But anyway. And, of course, they'll just keep pointing to Ginsburg. Her failure to leave when they told her to, they claim, allowed Donald Trump to name Amy Coney Barrett just weeks before he lost the re-election bid. And, of course, that's had pretty profound consequences for the left, hasn't it? Anyway, don't forget, coming up after me is Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags, and then followed by Lars Larson. In the morning, Jen and Bill will be back with the South Florida Morning Show, followed at 9 a.m. by Brian Kilmeade, and at noon by Dan Bongino. And then, of course, I get to come back at 3. But for now, I have another segment left, so stay right where you are.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
When was the last time you spent as much of your money on food as you're spending today? That was an article in today's Wall Street Journal. And yes, I'm going to talk about Donald Trump's town hall last night. I'm going to talk about this Japanese guy who was selling nuclear materials. But I have to start out with this because it affects us all. And they say in the Wall Street Journal today, the last time that we spent as much of our money on food, George H.W. Bush was in office, Terminator 2 was in the theaters, and CNC Music Factory was rocking the Billboard charts. That's a long time ago. Eating continues to cost more, even as overall inflation has eased, because that's what they keep telling us. Well, don't worry. You know, inflation is down. There's no problem. The economy's doing great. Except that the cost of food is way up there. Prices at restaurants, and I don't go out to eat very much, but I do go occasionally, was up 5.1% just this last month. Grocery costs are up 1.2% 1 month. And that's according to the government's own, you know, data. That's from the Labor Department. And it doesn't look like anything's going to get better anytime soon. All the food distributors and restaurant executives are saying, oh, no, we got rising labor costs. We can't get cocoa. Everything is more expensive. So if you look historically after periods of inflation, there's really no period you could point to where food prices go back down. Think about that for a second. Wherever we are today, it's not going to get lower. So unless salaries go up substantially, it's going to get harder and harder to keep food on your table. And forget about the quality of the food. In 1991, we were spending 11.5% of our disposable personal income on food. And that's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, right? We had food prices were pretty high because we had inflation during the 1970s. Here we are three decades later, and food spending is back at that level. In 2022, we spent 11.3% of our disposable income on food. Now, that makes President Joe Biden angry. Really? I mean, he was on Instagram during the Super Bowl blasting food makers that he said, oh, you know, they're providing less bang for consumers' buck. There's fewer chips in the bag, and ice cream comes in smaller containers. And the American public, he said, we're tired of being played for suckers. I've had enough of what they call shrinkflation. It's a ripoff. You're to blame. David Chivern, the CEO of the Consumer Brands Association, which basically represents a bunch of different food manufacturers, the big ones, said the industry offers many choices at different price points. And they hope to work with the president on real solutions that benefit consumers. Are you kidding? They can't make miracles. So they talked to some people around the country. One woman in suburban Chicago said her food bills are rising faster than her family's income, leading them to make their own granola from scratch and pack their own snacks for the movies, both of which I think are really good ideas anyway. Everything is a negotiation, an analysis about our budget, she said. And this is a professional, an occupational therapist. She said it's exhausting. People are going out less frequently, or they're not getting appetizers, and they're buying more store brands when they're at the supermarkets. And they're looking for all kinds of promotions and deals, and they're on their apps trying to get coupons. And it's definitely affecting the food makers, and it's definitely affecting the restaurateurs. Denny's, Wendy's, and a bunch of other restaurant chains are telling investors this month that their numbers are down. They're not feeding as many people as they were in 2022. Now, think about that. 2022, we were just coming out of COVID. People were still scared to go out. And now it's the people with lower incomes who can't do it. Hershey, Kraft, Heinz, all reporting their sales volumes down. Food companies are, you know, they can't make miracles happen. Corn, wheat, coffee, beans, chicken may have gone down a little bit in price, but sugar, beef, French fries, up. I guess potatoes are up. I went out, when were we? It was Sunday evening. We'd been given a gift certificate. I'm not going to mention the restaurant because I didn't have a great dining experience. But we went out to dinner, And it's a restaurant that's normally on a Sunday evening jammed. You're waiting. You got to wait for a table. They don't take reservations, so you got to wait for a table. We breezed in, never filled up the whole time we were in there. And I could see more people sharing plates than I remember in a long time. Oreos, the cookie maker Mondelez, said those Oreo prices are going to continue going up because cocoa prices continue to go up. I picked up a package of Oreos a month ago. It wasn't even that recently. I had to bring them with me to a meeting, and the people who were holding the meeting asked me specifically to pick up some Oreos, some yellow Oreos and some chocolate Oreos. When I looked at the price of the Oreos, I said, whoa, I've never seen, you know, a package of cookies that weren't like, you know, maybe high dollar imported from Sweden cookies that cost that much. Hershey said this month it expects more expensive cocoa to cut into their profit. Kraft Heinz said even though inflation seems to be moderating, their costs are still higher because tomatoes and sugar, that's what's pushing it. Well, you need tomatoes and sugar to make ketchup, right? I don't care because to me it means that John Kerry is not doing as well, right? He's married to the Heinz heir. Companies are set to pay more for staffing after 22 states in January lifted the minimum wage for hourly workers. So now, if you're hiring skilled workers like mechanics to replace employees who retired during the pandemic, it's going to cost you a ton of money. The people at fast food restaurants are now making in the teens. Not that I don't think people deserve to be paid a living wage. Of course they do. But you're watching restaurants in California just fold up. Even long-standing, very good chains. Either the crime is pushing them out of neighborhoods or the costs of minimum wage. In California, the minimum wage went up 25% for fast food workers. And in April, that goes into your price, into what the consumer is going to pay. When you go out now, you look at the menu and you say, well, is it really worth $1.99 for a side of macaroni and cheese? Or maybe I should get refills instead of ordering the big large size drinks, which cost so much. I was I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant, but I watched a couple split a steak. I've seen people, friends of mine, say, you want anything from Jimmy John's? They're a sandwich place, right? And I say, oh, yeah, like, what kind of sandwiches? And they look at me like I'm crazy. But I just don't eat sandwiches, and I don't eat out sandwiches very often. So they'll say, well, you know, Italian, ham and cheese, turkey, things like that. And then they'll say to me, well, we split a sandwich. And I'll be looking at their husband, who's definitely tipping the scales above 200. And I go, split a sandwich? My husband is not that big. He's tall. But there's no splitting a sandwich at Jimmy John's or any place else. But if you haven't got enough money to put groceries in your refrigerator, if you do have a chance to go get something at Jimmy John's, you might be splitting the sandwich. And all kinds of deals. I saw some deals the other day that were just amazing to me. I think it was at Wendy's. I stopped there. I was bringing my neighbor wanted one of those frosty drinks, right? So I stopped by to get it. And there was like a deal, a medium size or large size for 99 cents. And I'm thinking, yeah, they can't get people to come into these restaurants. So they have these loss leaders. And I'm not talking about classy restaurant. I'm talking about Wendy's. No, not to put down Wendy's or anything. Is there anything that you would eat at Wendy's? Just curious, because there's nothing that I would eat at Wendy's. Maybe I'd drink one of those Slurpee things, but that's probably not even that. Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops. Can't afford them anymore. People are eating cereal for dinner. Give chicken the night off, the campaign says, and eat some Fruit Loops. Are you kidding me? Although my son Derek did spend an entire 6 months of his life only eating cereal out of the box. No milk, just cereal out of the box. It was one of those crazy times in his little life. Anyway, so I got that off my chest. Just like a gallon of gas, we're seeing higher prices on supermarket shelves, and nobody wants to talk about it. You know when they're going to talk about it? On the first Tuesday of November. You know what I mean? All right, especially since last night, of course, you know, he stole my line. Dan Bongino said the money line from the town hall with Laura Ingraham last night had to be when she said, do you want to get elected so you can get revenge against all these people who have tortured and come at you and your family? And he said, success will be the greatest revenge. Success for him, success for the country, success on your grocery shelves. Great line. Anyway, don't forget to download the 850 WFTL app. That way you could get all the podcasts and all of the contests. You could participate. We're now having a contest where you can get tickets to Rib Roundup. That's our country music station's special event every year. Great food and great music. So just download the app, 850 WFTL app, or go to the website, 850WFTL.com. And take a quick break. I'll be right back. So the author of the Harry Potter books, J.K. Rowling, she's been in like a lot of interesting situations over the last couple of years. But this one is really crazy. She has challenged Scotland's new hate crime law in a series of social media posts and has invited police to arrest her if they believe she has committed an offense. She lives apparently in Edinburgh, and she said, freedom of speech and belief was at an end if accurate description of biological sex was outlawed. Because that's how she got in trouble. She started talking about how transgender doesn't make any sense to her. And then she was lambasted. People said, oh, there's something wrong with her. She's a transphobic. No, maybe she just believes that, science is science. I love when they tell me, oh, you don't understand science. Yes, I do. I understand science, and that's why I believe that if you are born a male with the right chromosomal arrangement, then you're a male. And if you were born a female, then you're a female. And I don't care how many times you tell me that you're the other gender, you're not. So that's what she did, and now the hate crime and public order with the Scotland has the Minister of Speech, I guess. I can't believe this. His name is Humza Yousaf, said the new law would deal with the rising tide of hatred, creating a new crime of stirring up hatred relating to age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, transgender identity, or being intersex. Oh, no, that's a new one for me. Now it's intersex. I guess intersex means that Mondays I feel like a man, and Tuesdays I feel like a woman, and Wednesdays I feel a little bit like a man, a little bit like a woman, and a lot like an alligator. That must be intersex. So no, that would actually be interspecial. They make this stuff up. So Mrs. Rowling, who apparently has a, pretty storied career. She's written one of the most popular series of books ever. And I know more adults who read these Harry Potter books than I think I even know kids who read them. And so when she says, no, men are men and women are women and never the twain shall meet, they want to charge her with a hate crime. Because you know what's interesting? The law doesn't protect women as a group from hatred. That's right. She has been a critic of this trans activism. So she posted on X the day that the legislation came into being. She said Scottish lawmakers seem to have placed higher value on the feelings of men performing their idea of femaleness, however misogynistically or opportunistically, than on the rights and freedoms of actual women and girls. And she added, it is impossible to accurately describe or tackle the reality of violence and sexual violence committed against women and girls, or address the current assault on women and girls' rights, unless we're allowed to call a man a man. Freedom of speech and belief are at an end in Scotland if the accurate description of biological sex is deemed criminal. She's right. She's absolutely right. You have that case of the transgendered rapist who abducted and assaulted a girl in Scotland. Then, listen, how did we fall so far? Well, I'll tell you how we fell so far. More of us believe in aliens and more of us believe in the Loch Ness Monster than believe in God. That's how we fell this far. So I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, my plan is to be back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock, if it be his will and he delays his coming. What lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And then may God bless you. May God bless Israel. And may God bless the United States of America. See you all tomorrow at 3. This is what happens in these actual third world countries, right? These Haitian gangs are fighting it out on the streets of Port-au-Prince and everywhere else in the country. And now they decided to loot the National Library. So my first thought was, well, at least they're literate. No, they're not literate. They looted the library of the furniture and the generator, the building's generator. So the the librarian, the chief librarian or the national librarian, I'm not sure what D'Angelo Neard's title is, but he said the history of Haiti, which is the second oldest republic in this hemisphere, in the Western Hemisphere, was being threatened because the documentary collections are in danger. We have rare documents over 200 years old with importance to our heritage, which risk being burned or damaged by bandits. Yeah, isn't like the chief bandit called Barbecue? That's kind of scary. If you don't want things burned, you probably should not let your country fall into the hands of somebody by the name of Barbecue. I don't mean to make light of it, but when you hear these kinds of stories, you think to yourself, what is happening around the world? This is all the confluence of events is really startling to me. Armed groups are controlling most of Port-au-Prince right now and large parts of the countryside because there's no functioning government. And there's no, they keep promising, well, we're going to put in a transitional, authority. Nothing happening. Now, there's been less violence in the last 48 hours, according to the news reports. But the attack on the National Library is in tandem with assaults on two universities, the École Normale Supérieure and the National School of Arts. Two healthcare facilities, 10 pharmacies were looted. Well, let me guess what that was about. The UN's humanitarian office was looted, and the remaining hospitals are facing increasing strain. The country's national police said in a statement on Tuesday that they were determined and committed to restoring order and peace. Who's authorizing them? You know, is there a prime minister? I know one guy had to step down. Is there a new prime minister? Did I miss that story? There's been violence there in Haiti since February. That's when these criminal gangs teamed up and started attacking all the police stations and let the prison doors open, the airport, the seaport. I'm just kind of confused how this has gone on as long as it's gone on. Who's in charge? Nobody. They had Ariel Henry was there, the prime minister, got ousted last week or the week before. He'd been in power since they assassinated Moise back in 2021. What kind of, there's no parliament. They don't have a sitting parliament now. The last time they had an election in Haiti was in 2016. That's the year Donald Trump was elected. And we're talking about a country that's totally impoverished, probably has more natural disasters than any other country I've ever paid attention to in our hemisphere, for sure. Gang violence, political instability, assassinations, and you tell me. Where's the rest of the world? You know, we got our nose in everybody else's business. Halfway around the world, we got our noses in Ukraine's business. We got our noses in Taiwan's business. And I'm not making a value judgment on whether we should have our nose in anybody's business. But wouldn't it make more sense for us to have our noses in the business of a island that's right off the coast of Florida, which is now going to be flooding us with immigrants? I think maybe that would be a priority for this administration and for this Congress, even more so than Ukraine. I know it's not as sexy as Russia and China, but it's right around the corner. It's right in the backyard. There's trouble in Cuba now. There's trouble in Haiti now. This hemisphere is going through some rather profound shakings up. South America, Ecuador, Brazil. There's hardly a country in South America where you want to go live now. I know somebody who's in Ecuador right now. Not good. Not good at all. But that's okay, because we're more concerned about whether, you know, enough aid is getting into Gaza. Not that I want to see people suffer. I don't. But Hamas is making those people suffer. And the longer that the media keeps portraying it as Israel's making them suffer, the more people believe that. So I'd be happier if for a while we could just turn the news cameras and all of the reporters, all these reporters who want to help every poor person and open the doors, the floodgates should be open into the United States of America. Hey, let's pay some attention to what's going on in Haiti. Not going to happen. No, there's no there for the media. There's no real win. Although there is a win. Because if the Democrats figure out how to get every Haitian who comes into this country to vote for Democrats, there's a big win there for them. Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to do that with Ukraine or Taiwan. But listen, you know, maybe I'm thinking too much. Maybe I'm thinking too clearly. Maybe I'm not sensitive. That's what it is. I've become jaded. All these years of watching politicians do what's in their best interest and not what's ever in the best interest of the American people or even the people of any given country that we say we want to help, I've become quite jaded. You know, why do we wait until gangs are fighting in the streets in Port-au-Prince before we think about helping the people in Haiti? You thought of that too, right? I know I'm not alone. More than 53,000 people have fled the capital in the last week and a half. They're just running. They're trying to escape the gang violence. More than 60% of them are headed to the rural southern region, which is where my Compassion International foster kid lives. And that scares the UN officials. Our humanitarian colleagues emphasized that these departments do not have sufficient infrastructure or host communities that do not have sufficient resources to cope with the large number of people fleeing Port-au-Prince. I want you to think about it this way. I got to always try to give you an example that you can understand, right? You live in South Florida. Now imagine that all of a sudden there are wars between armed gangs on the streets of Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami. And all of the people who have to get out of there to try and escape the violence head up to Jupiter or Stewart. What do you think it's the response is going to be from Jupiter and Stewart, or maybe even Orlando. Maybe they'll get all the way up to Orlando. I don't think the mouse is going to welcome them. But we didn't pay any attention. This has been going on in Haiti since I was born. And the only time we ever pay any attention is when they show up on rafts in the Keys. But you have 90% of Haitians leaving the capital right now, leaving Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and West Palm, crowding into buses, risking traveling through gang-controlled territory where gang rapes have been reported and gunmen are opening fire on buses and, you know, any kind of public transport. The prime minister bailed. He was in Kenya, of all places, you know, trying to figure out a solution. I love when these leaders are so cowardly that they go somewhere else to figure out a solution. No offense, but what good does it do the people of Tibet for the Dalai Lama to be in India? Just saying. I'm such a stickler for being who you say you are. Anyway, let me take a quick break. Stay right where you are. I got a lot more to talk about. I mean, we certainly have plenty of news, and I will get to as much of it as I can today, so you don't want to miss a minute of the show. Stay right where you are.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.